Hi, this is Tracy, and I'd like to first of all say thank you to those of you who have been listening to my old episodes during this ridiculously long hiatus I've been on. I am making and turning over a new leaf. We'll see, won't we? We'll see how new this leaf is that I'm turning over, because the proof will be in the pudding, whether or not I live up to this goal of mine to do at least a weekly podcast from this moment going forward. It has been a heck of a year, my friends. Yeah, there's no words. And a lot of cussing of words, sort of cussing sorts of words, would certainly be appropriate, but they would seem redundant also at this point. I think we've all run the gamut of all of our swear words over the last year. The last podcast that I did was actually back at the solstice, around solstice time in 2019. I believe it was, or right at the beginning of 2020, can't remember now. And so there's been a lot of transition in the world. There's been a lot of transition in individuals, including myself. It has been something, hasn't it? One thing that all of this does for all of us is it gives us a sense of how interconnected we all are. When I was at the store yesterday, I noticed how hard it was to find cinnamon. I just wanted to buy some dang old cinnamon yesterday. Well, I had other things on the list, but cinnamon, I did want some cinnamon. And usually you can find about 50,000 different cinnamon options. I think I found one kind of cinnamon, one brand of cinnamon. And I think I might have gotten the last one. So, when there's this much change, when change is so rapid, when it is so fundamental, when foundations of institutions are shaking, it can be numbing. It can be numbing. We can lose track of the little things, the big things, the medium-sized things. We can lose track of all of it, basically, because we're being flooded. We're being flooded with so much change and pain and uncertainty. And when that happens collectively, it's collectively disorienting. When it happens to an individual, it's individually disorienting. And it does happen in both arenas simultaneously for some of us, for some folks who are already in a life that doesn't feel completely certain for them, a world that has a general uncertainty can be rattling. For others, sometimes, who have been feeling a sort of inner chaos for a long time, the collective chaos can be almost like a comfort, ironically, because it's like there's a sense that, hey, okay, everybody else is finally caught up with me now. Okay, everybody else knows how crazy everything is too. But I just want to put this out here today. This might be a fairly brief little message. We really, really are in this together, and that's a lot more meaningful than it sounds. We're all connected. I bring up the cinnamon scenario as just sort of evidence that the abundance that we in the West experience really is an anomaly. And there's a lot of folks that the idea that they might have a hard time finding some cinnamon on the shelves is just the life. That's just their life. It's not, I mean, at the end of the day, I was able to find some cinnamon. It wasn't impossible. I didn't have to go to more than one store. I didn't have to stand in a line to get it. It wasn't a luxury item. I didn't find it more than I could afford. And so let's keep in mind that uncertainty is what we are always in. And the point is not to freak out about that, but to become more resilient. And that's easy for me to say. As I said, I was able to afford the dang old cinnamon. And some folks, that would be a luxury for them. So we neither need to feel guilt or shame over our abundance, nor do we need to, nor does it make sense to take it for granted. When we do have it, when we have abundance in any area of our lives, let's not take it for granted, but let's also not panic when it starts to be less certain. This time has, because of all the change in the general collective, there's been a lot of changes in people's personal lives. There's been a lot of people who have made significant relationship changes. There's a lot of people who have made fundamental reevaluations of their sense of what's meaningful to them. That can be a good thing. The Black Lives Matter movement, for instance, I'm grateful that these issues that have been easy for white people to ignore are bubbling to the surface. These issues haven't been easy for black people to ignore the whole dang old time. This isn't new. But people reach a breaking point. And sometimes what can really feel like an increase in the chaos in the world can just make those things come up. It's like a big detox. The analogy I like to use is that let's say you're in a detox, you're doing some sort of dietary detox and for a while you feel kind of yucky, and then maybe you get a big old boil pops out, some big old boil, and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, this detox, it's making me sick. This detox is causing a boil. No, there were toxins under the surface that were latent and you weren't seeing them because there was nothing shaking them loose. There was nothing causing them to erupt, as it were. And so the detox isn't causing it. The detox is exposing it. So one way to look at the way the world is right now is that we're in a big collective detox. And the poisons that were hidden are coming to light. So instead of saying, oh no, there's toxins, I think if we can just stay the course, we can really clean some things out of society. We can all be a little more honest with ourselves about our own unconscious bias. We can be more honest with ourselves about the things that we've been tolerating that we don't want to tolerate anymore in terms of in ourselves, in our personal lives. It's also an opportunity to reevaluate what we really care about. Stuff, material things, careers, jobs, the pursuit of money, all of those things can be very, very consuming. They're, none of them are bad, inherently bad. They're things, and they are experiences that if people want to seek those experiences, they have, that's where their dance is. That's where their opportunity to learn can be. But those things are never going to be an end goal. Those things are never going to be where we're going to ultimately want to land. Because, spoiler alert, they're never really fulfilling. The things themselves, the outcomes. I see folks all the time who find themselves having suddenly accomplished all of their material goals, and they say, but I'm still not happy. And that's a hard transition. So gently, I like to let them know that while the experience of learning how to accumulate things is inherently valuable because it helps you to learn how to operate in the world, it's a good thing. I mean, the experience of learning how to accumulate is inherently valuable. But the outcome of the accumulation will never land. It'll never get you to where you're, oh, I'm happy now. I'm happy now. Ah, yes, because I have the stuff. I got the stuff. And now I'm happy. It's not the root of all evil. Money is not the root of all evil. Evil people or disturbed, delusional people doing disturbed, delusional things is the root of all evil. And people can do that with or without money. But it isn't, it also isn't a source of happiness. I don't even like to use the word happy particularly. I more prefer the word of peacefulness, because happy can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And the ecstasy of temporary accomplishment or temporary infatuation or any of those things isn't going to last. It's a lovely experience. Again, it's a wonderful experience to have, but it doesn't stay. The reason I prefer using the word peacefulness is that I'm interested in the concept of resilience, and that we can feel a sense of peace and resilience even when we didn't get the accomplishment exactly as we thought it was supposed to be, or that we do find that, oh, stuff actually didn't solve anything. It just gave me more things to dust. My mom, I used to look at great, great big houses when I was a little kid, big mansions, and I would say to my mom, oh, I wish I could live in a big mansion like that. And my mom would say, somebody's got to clean that. I thought, oh, what a limiting belief you have. But as I've gotten older, I'm thinking, you know, there's a lot to that statement. Somebody's got to clean it. So stuff is not going to solve our problems. It can be fun, and I like stuff too. Don't get me wrong. We just need to keep stuff and material things in context and think about things like other people's needs, and that it would be more satisfying to all of us if we lived in a world with less suffering. Helping other people to reduce their suffering, thinking about hunger in the world, food insecurity, even if you yourself can get all the cinnamon you want, thinking about other people who might really be struggling with the inability to access decent healthcare, with the inability to access reliable food sources and healthy food. Living in a world where there is less of that will benefit you, even if you yourself are not suffering with those specific experiences. So if you help the world be peaceful and at ease, you get to live in a world that is peaceful and at ease. If you only think of your own needs, the peacefulness and the ease will be temporary at best. So, and truthfully, caring about other people, not trying to rescue people, not trying to solve other people's problems for them, but at least helping the world have more opportunities for people to meet their own needs. Less obstacles will benefit you, and it'll benefit me. It doesn't just benefit the other person, because human relationships are where all the meaning really lies. So, my deep wish for all of us in this time is that we let the cleaning continue. Don't stop the detox right in the middle. Allow yourself to look at yourself and say, hey, what can I do differently? How can I become a person who's more resilient? How can I both care for myself and recognize other people's needs? We can turn this time of apparent chaos into something really beautiful, or we can get stuck in it. So if you are struggling with depression or anxiety, see a counselor, please. Find a good counselor. In fact, find any old counselor. You can only always find a good one later. Get support. Don't be alone in your heart. Even if you have to be holed up in your house, even if you're not getting as much connection as you would like, be flexible, connect other ways. I don't like Zoom meetings. Yeah, well, what the heck? Have a dang old Zoom meeting with a friend. It won't be perfect. It will not be perfect. It will not be exactly what you wanted, but don't wait for things to be perfect before you let yourself step into what you need. And the loving kindness meditation, that's one of my earlier podcasts. Maybe take a listen to that. That might help. Being peaceful and at ease isn't about stuff. Stuff doesn't automatically prevent being peaceful at ease, but it also doesn't give it. And the lack of stuff doesn't automatically make it impossible to be peaceful at ease. I will say, however, people that are afraid of not being able to care for themselves or their families, I am not going to tell them that their first problem is they're not peaceful enough. I'm going to say, okay, let's figure out how you can hook up with some resources so that you guys can white knuckle it through this time. So, if you want to think of something cool to do today to make yourself feel better, take some food to a food bank. Doesn't have to be an epic amount. Like, dang, get some green beans nobody wants green beans. Peanut butter. Don't Don't take the crappy food to the food bank. I'm kidding. Green beans are great. Green beans are great. I'm just imagining the shelves of the food bank being filled with a lot of old green beans, but... Oh my gosh, this was obviously, I'm not going to get the green beans of the Green Bean Grower of America sponsorship for this episode, am I? No, I like green beans. I actually, for real, do like green beans, but I do go on tangents a bit, don't I? Anyway, reach out to someone, say hi through your mask, learn how to smile with your eyes over your mask. Believe me, if you're smiling in your mask, people can tell. So don't feel like you can't be seen just because you're wearing a mask to protect yourself and others from getting sick. And if you yourself are not worried about getting sick, which frankly I'm not terribly worried about myself, which might be overconfidence because I am rather overconfident. But there are people with compromised immune systems. I have a good friend who has a compromised immune system right now. And the risk of contagion is a life or death concern for her. So when other people choose not to wear masks, she's so sweet about it, but it's hurtful. Because it could affect her. So think about other people besides yourself. The paradox, one of the grand paradoxes, is that the more we give attention to other people's needs, the more we can feel free in ourselves. Of course, that is a balance. Another thing I like to say is, on the contrary to that, is rather than giving the shirt off your own back, it makes more sense to create a life in which you have extra shirts. So don't give more than makes sense in any kind of a way, but at least allow yourself to feel love, which can be the scariest gift of all. Just feeling love without expecting anything in return can be really, truly frightening, but it's also the coolest thing. So that is what I'm wishing and sending out to all of you who have been kind enough to listen, even while I've been on this hiatus. And if anybody's new to this podcast, welcome. And I'll look forward to talking to y'all again at minimum in a week. And perhaps even sooner. So take care. And I wish you all love.